Welcome back to the Wavy Podcast. I'm your host, Gemma, as well as the managing editor of the soundtrack.ca. I'm chatting with a very special guest, Robert, who is the singer of The Districts, which is a band I really, really love. So I basically wanted to have Rob here today to chat the album, You Know I'm Not Going Anywhere, which was released about a year ago. It was one of my favorite albums of last year. I actually got really into it at the end of last year, and kind of, I haven't stopped listening to it, honestly, since then. So yeah, in celebration of such a fantastic album, I thought we could revisit it and talk about it. Robert, how are you?
I'm doing good, thank you. How you doing?
Doing all right. Thanks so much for taking the time to be here and talk about the album.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure. So it's been 1 year since You Know I'm Not Going Anywhere. How does that make you feel?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's obviously been a crazy year of all years. And yeah, it's pretty surreal that much time has passed.
I know.
Yeah, we put it out on March 13th. And yeah, that was right as everything was kind of locking down and whatnot. And yeah, it's been a hell of a year, you know?
Totally. Yeah, I had tickets to your show in Toronto at the Horseshoe Tavern. So I was so bummed when that was canceled.
Yeah, I like the Horseshoe a lot.
Yeah, it's a great spot. We were actually gonna throw a showcase of our own, like, for the publication. Had a few different bands lined up to play at the Horseshoe. It was gonna be awesome, but
that's awesome.
Rest in peace. But yeah, last time I saw you guys was at Oceaga, like,
oh cool, geez,
I don't even know how many years ago now, in Montreal. It was great. But in terms of the record, where did you record it and how long did it take?
So we recorded it, we did most of it. We got this tape machine, it's like 16 track, that was pretty small, so it was kind of portable. We actually are like booking agents. Guy Kevin, who books our shows, had a cabin and was really kind and let us go there. And we just brought a bunch of gear there, and that's where we did most of the work.
Cool.
And that was about like 2 weeks we were up there. But then we kind of always end up like adding some stuff down the line and kind of like picking at it a little bit, you know? Mm-hmm. So that took a few more months, and then like had a few months of a break before we mixed it with Dave Fridman, which I guess, yeah, I don't know, a couple months of working on it, you know?
Yeah.
But that feels even longer ago now, because it always works out that by the time you finish a record, a lot more time elapses before you actually get to release it.
Yeah.
So that was a while ago even. And yeah,
that's really cool. You guys did it in like a cabin. Like, was it like in the woods? Like, I guess I'm trying to get kind of a visual idea.
Yeah, it was in like New York State,
okay,
like upstate a bit. And yeah, it's just kind of like in the woods, like some deer would go by a lot. There's snow on the ground when we did it. Yeah, it was very cool. We just kind of like wake up and like stay up all day doing it, you know? It'd be great.
Yeah, no, that's a great way to focus in on it and then, you know, I guess take inspiration from the piece around you. So like, for someone who hasn't heard the album, how would you describe the overall sound?
Yeah, I guess we kind of always have a tendency to have, I think we often see like songs as their own little worlds and then the album kind of has its own thing. So it kind of goes in and out of a few different sounds, you know, but but we did a lot to this tape machine and some like ambient background stuff I did with tape loops and stuff. And so that gives it all a really particular quality. And I always feel like the album sounds very like airy to me.
Yeah.
And the songs are kind of all over the place. There's some dance tracks. There's some acoustic quiet tracks.
Yeah.
There's bangers. There's sleepers. You know, we got it all.
Sleepers. I love that. You know, you kind of hit the nail right on the head there with the way you described it, because I think it's a nearly flawless album, and it has such a fantastic mixture of songs, like you mentioned, like you know, you makes you want to dance, chill out, cry even. at least me. but what advice would you give for someone creating an album with variety while still making it sound all like a package, you know? It's so diverse, but it all sounds so good together. So I guess how do you nail down that variety while
making
it sound as one?
I always just have confidence in that, like, music in general, for one thing, but particularly when I'm making music, that it's all drawing from, like, the same source, you know? And, like, whatever that is, like, in you that it's coming out from, I always feel like if you're true to that, you will make something that will ultimately just exist how it should be, you know? Which, whether or not that's like, that's just like, sounds like magic, you know? Like, it's like,
yeah,
it's just kind of about, like, I don't know, I guess just like having intention for it and just kind of trying to stay aware of like the big picture and what you want the whole thing to feel like, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think that's why I liked it so much, just because of the variety, you know. It was so cool to see you guys dip in and out of all these different vibes.
Yeah.
Curious, what was your intention? What inspired this album? I'm sure a lot of different things, but I guess kind of the general underlier of it, I don't know.
Yeah. So kind of weird timing with the whole album, because so we put it out on Friday the 13th. And we named it, You Know I'm Not Going Anywhere. So it did feel like this, like, bad magic situation. it was, like, magic gone wrong. It was, like, because the album itself was kind of, a lot of the songs, deal with isolation and sort of, like, really trying to, like, transcend yourself. Trying to transcend literally the self and the, you know, whatever kind of like beguiling situation you're stuck in, you know? And that was all written not at all about like this time period, but just the whole thing when it came out felt very appropriate, you know?
Yeah.
So I guess I was drawn on a lot of stuff while I was making it. Just like on a personal level, a lot of what I was just talking about, just trying to like, I was really changing as a person and like growing as a person a lot and shedding a lot of old skin and behaviors, you know? And it was a really strange time where I felt really like disjointed from, I don't know, from everything, kind of from like people I knew and my own life. And I also like, I had this like sick dog I was taking care of that died. And that was just like a very long grueling process. Cause it was just like a lot of complicated factors.
Yeah.
So in my life, I was just drawing on these kind of like pretty real things that were going on and just that led me to be living a pretty isolated life for a while. So I think it's just funny to end up releasing a record about those things in a period where it's like, oh wow, here comes forced isolation for like all of humanity, you know?
Yeah, totally. No, great timing for that. I feel like in life, just generally, like every few years, like you kind of mentioned, you kind of shed your skin. Like it's like every few years things kind of change up, at least for me in my life. I'm in my early 20s and I think that's such a time of growth and change and like who the hell am I?
Yeah, totally.
So
but it's very nice. Like that makes it sound kind of like negative, but really the general theme of the album to me is like a very like hopeful sense of all those things. You know, it's like,
of course,
you're experiencing these like isolating, you know, sort of like uncomfortable and even disturbing events, you know, but it's like by shedding that skin, you know, it's like, that was the whole point of the title of like, You Know I'm Not Going Anywhere, is like you remain, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. No, it is a positive thing. Like, and you know, going through change, it's challenging, it's painful, it's it's a lot, but like it always ends up in something better. And I think every time we kind of we go through these intense changes in our lives, we just become we get closer and closer to who we truly are.
Yeah,
so in terms of the songwriting process, you know, I know you guys did it in a cabin and such, but I'm kind of curious who does what. Like, just do you write everything? Do you just take care of lyrics? What is that like?
Yeah, I write most of the stuff. It's kind of like a lot of records just happen differently for us. So the last one, I was just kind of getting more into home recording than I had before, because I used to kind of just be like, you know, I'd write a song on an acoustic guitar and then we'd all go play it. But since I started recording at home a bunch more, I was kind of just naturally like writing, I don't know, like further into the arrangement than I would before. So that this last one was a little more unique in that sense from past ones. But then, you know, when we all go to record it, like everyone contributes, you know, in terms of performances, you know, so it's like the album itself ends up being very, like, I always feel like it's very much a band character, you know, and everyone's voice is on it, you know.
Yeah, totally. What was the album artwork process? Who created it and why did you go with that?
Yeah, we kind of went through a few different options. And I kind of stumbled on that photograph by accident. And I kind of thought this whole like image of floating underwater felt like the kind of sort of like temporary space that the album kind of represented to me, like on the isolation front, but also, you know, it's not like a permanent situation, you know, you're kind of like off in some escape sort of thing.
Yeah.
Because I always thought the photo looked kind of mysterious and strange, but it's also really bright and vivid, which I think captures a lot of the feeling for me. And that was by a photographer named Tyne Beck, who is from Denmark, I believe. And she was really nice and let us use it. And yeah, and then we worked with a couple designers in Philly, and they were great people and great help. James Paris and Ben Harrison both helped with the design as well for the layout, and they were great.
Awesome. So it was a, because to me it looks like a painting. Like, was it a photo and then it was like it went digital, or am I just like, seeing it weird?
It's just like now I want to look at it myself.
Yeah, like I'm going to look right now too.
Yeah.
One sec. Like, to me it looks like, it literally looks like a painting.
Yeah, no, so that's like straight up a photo.
Wow.
I think it's just like the way the water's distorted and stuff, and then it's kind of like brightened up a little too, but yeah, I just love the kind of like surreal quality of it, you know.
Totally. Yeah, you may not, but do you have a favorite song on the album and why?
Yeah,
why not?
I would say my favorite song on the album is probably either, I'm gonna say two. How's that?
Yeah, go for
okay,
it.
Okay, I think My Only Ghost and Dancer.
Nice.
But I'm always like drawn towards like the dreamy, slow stuff, you know?
Okay.
But I also love like other ones for different reasons.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think My Only Ghost is such a kind of it's kind of like a haunting intro, like in a great way, but it's, I don't know, the way it was put together, it just, it's like you're kind of transcending into somewhere else, you know.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, my favorite song is Velour and Velcro.
Cool.
I've been listening to it a ton ever since I got really, really into the album. Mm-hmm. I find it really like comforting and uplifting and also emotional. Can you talk to me a bit about that song and what inspired it?
Yeah, totally. I feel like that song is definitely like a very important piece to the album, specifically regarding like, it's just kind of like a love song, you know, of hope, you know, it's just kind of like taking really sort of like the whole, all the feelings I was talking about of, you know, a lot of the album dealing with. Sorry, I'm not explaining this well. Let me explain it again.
No, you're doing over. Fine. All good.
Okay. Yeah, Valorum Velcro, I think, holds a really special place on the record because it's a love song about hope, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's really about, yeah, just kind of holding on to those feelings that give you purpose and give you, yeah, just hope to carry on, you know, and
mm-hmm.
just keep seeing what will be, you know.
Yeah, I like it because it's just, I just feel like it's really bittersweet, you know, like
mm-hmm.
you mentioned God, but then you also mentioned, like, I guess kind of being stuck in your head and
mm-hmm.
going back and forth. I don't know. I love it. And it's been such a confusing year for me, and I think for everybody. And it's been there, and it's been great.
Glad to hear it. Hell yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. What are some key pieces of gear you used on the album? I'm sure there's a lot, but maybe there's a few that come to mind that are significant there.
Yeah, totally. So the tape machine we use is a Tascam MSR-16, which is really cool tape machine. It's like 16 tracks and I think it's half inch tape. Or is it 1 inch tape? I forget. I think it's half inch tape. But yeah, so Tascam MSR-16. And then I had this like Roland Rhythm 77 drum machine. That's like what's on Valorum Velcro and like Change In. Might be sprinkled in a few other places. Yeah, what else do we do? There's a lot of Mellotron on it. We got like this digital Mellotron. The acoustic guitar is a very important part of the record. mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I got like this little synth I used, little analog synth from the 80s. And yeah, we had some friends, like our friend Chet played saxophone. Our friend Molly Germer played violin on it. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
Dope. Yeah, I love it. You know, I ask this question just curious from a creative standpoint, and it's not at all because I think this. But it's always just interesting to hear the answer. Is there anything you would go back and change about it now? And I wouldn't touch it, you know. I think it's amazing, but I'm just curious, I guess, from your point of view.
Yeah, I mean, for me, there's almost always like things I look back on that I'm like, that could be better or that could be different, you know. But I kind of tend to, with every album, it's like I can acknowledge those things in my head that I'm like insecure about or whatever. But at the same time, I also always love having a record as just like this sort of capsule and record, you know, record of a time, you know. It's like a, not just a piece of music. It's like, this was like a time in my life and my friends' lives who made it with me, you know? So all those like flaws and imperfections are equally always something I love about stuff as well, you know.
Totally. Yeah. What was I gonna say? Oh yeah, I feel like you can literally work on a record forever and just nitpick and nitpick, but like,
yeah,
then nothing would ever get done.
Yeah, totally.
Are there any takeaways that stand out to you from the creation of this album, whether that be, you know, instrumentally or spiritually, whatever?
Yeah, I guess, yeah, it was, I guess, I didn't touch that much on like the spiritual element of this record, but there's like a very large like spiritual questioning going on in my life. And I've historically not been very interested in that stuff, to be honest, but at that point in my life, I started getting really interested in what, you know, how I relate to the universe spiritually, and it's not at all like a really religious one, but music is a very big part of that. And specifically creating music is like very deeply about, or like an experience that connects me to the world I'm in. And yeah, so I think just kind of really more deeply realizing how important that is to me in my life was a big thing. And I think it's really important that people find the ways that they, you know, feel at one with the universe, you know?
Totally. I feel like it's really important to live with some sort of purpose, you know, whatever your belief be. That's really cool to hear. I can definitely hear that. Yeah, just to hear you like quit, like, I guess talking about God and stuff, like it's cool. And a bit of an edgy take, but I feel like in a lot of music, there's always like Satan, devil, like all that. Yeah. That's like, it's so casually mentioned in mainstream music. Like,
yeah,
it's cool to hear.
And I don't really like, I really don't like ascribe to like a denominational God idea really. But I do very much believe in like, that we are all of the same thing. And that's kind of like my idea of God, you know, is like just our oneness with each other.
Interesting. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Or at least yeah. That's part of it. You know, I mean, there's a little more to it than that. Yeah. We could really break it down if you want, but
yeah, no, I grew up with like Catholic upbringing, but I don't know. I'm kind of in a place too, where I'm questioning what is real and what isn't, and I definitely don't know what I believe, but I'm definitely spiritual. But
no, I think it's really cool to explore, you know, like what, I don't know, people like call it God or whatever it is, but I think there's like something really deep at play in our reality.
Yeah,
but I don't think it's necessarily always how people paint it. I don't think it's like a you know, a all-powerful male figure who's controlling everyone's lives.
Right? It seems like a storybook. Like,
well, I think it is. It's like a distraction from like the real shit, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
And it's like, it's hard to know like what it is, because there's so many religions.
Yeah.
One I'm really interested in learning about recently is Buddhism. It seems like, yeah, it seems like just so one with the earth, and that totally. That interests me. But anyway, it's just it's cool to hear you ponder about that and be open about that experience.
Yeah, totally. I'm very interested in that stuff, and I'm also not trying to talk shit on the idea of God for the to ascribe to that, because there's basically a God type idea for me as well, but it's just different, you know, than I think like a lot of churches talk about, you know.
Of course. Yeah, no, I mean, whatever, like, to listeners, like, it's, you know, whatever brings you peace, whatever you believe in, like, that's amazing, and whatever, like, it's, we're all different, and one day we'll find out. For someone who has never listened to this album before, what would you say is the ideal setting or activity for them to listen to it in?
Oh, that's a good idea. I think it'd be a good bike ride album. It's spring, you know, put your headphones in, go for a bike ride. We got a nice bike trail in Philly I like to bike down. That'd be nice. Or like a nice fall walk, a nice autumn walk with a pumpkin spice latte.
Honestly, yeah. Like, yeah, I can't wait for
Yeah, that was kind of saying that is a funny thing, but it also sounds nice, you know. That'd be super comforting, and I think comfort is anytime you're comfortable is a great time to listen to this record. I think it is hopefully a comforting record.
It yeah, absolutely is. What is next for you guys?
So I've been working on music while this has been going on, so more music is to come. However, I'm not sure whether or not we'll release anything before, like, we can tour again. Like, maybe we'll put some little things out before then. It's still being discussed, but yeah, next is more music at some point in the foreseeable future.
Fantastic. I can't wait to listen. But
yeah,
I totally get that, because like, you guys didn't even get to tour this album, and this was such a great album.
thank you.
It definitely deserves its like time to be lived out in person, so I can definitely understand how that would be a bit of a conflict or whatever.
It will be fun when we do go on tour again to be touring on like kind of two albums at once, you know.
Yeah, that'll be so much new music and so much serotonin running in my brain. Well, thank you so much. I just have one more question. Mm-hmm. What are you listening to right now?
Oh, what am I listening to right now? I've been listening to Alex Eisenberg's new album. He's a singer I really like from California. The album's called Caravan Chateau. And it's really cool. He's kind of like a psychedelic, just like singer-songwriter vibes. It's cool. And been listening to some Kamasi Washington. What else here? Let's see. Sorry, I'm literally just scrolling through my phone.
No, that's okay. I always have to do the same thing when anyone asks me.
I listened to a lot of Stereo Lab when I was making this record. Cool. I haven't been listening to them as much recently, but they're awesome. I don't know. I always like to listen to like a decent bit of jazz and like ambient music stuff. So plenty of that.
Awesome.
Too many to name.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, Rob, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the Wavy Podcast. This was a pleasure. Definitely one of my most fun episodes. So,
absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for having me. This has been great.
Of course. Yeah. Everyone listening, you can find the Districts on, you know, all streaming platforms, Facebook, Instagram. Are you guys on Twitter as well?
We are incredibly inactive on Twitter, but we do have a Twitter, and every now and then we do something.
Well, be sure to follow for those exclusive rare updates on Twitter.
I'll fire one out soon just for you guys.
Perfect. Well, thanks so much again, and we'll talk soon. And thanks everyone for listening.